you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It is Friday. It's March 6, 2020, and I'm going to begin with a reading today. I've been struck by this passage, this theme, for the last week or so. I have a goal for today's broadcast, that people are going to connect more fully with God because of the Holy Spirit's work in their heart and mind, and how the Scriptures come alive because the Spirit helps us understand spiritual truths, and the great fact that as we ask Jesus into our life, He imparts the Holy Spirit to live in and abide in us, which is an amazing concept. But reading from Ephesians chapter 1, just verse 17, and maybe as I'm throwing this at you, we'll talk about it some, but I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. And it's interesting that we can be given this spirit, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that we can know Him better, know the Lord Jesus Christ, know God the Father, know the Holy Spirit that lives and abides in those who follow Jesus. But I'm looking at this verse as an encouragement to all of us that we can know God better as we allow the Spirit to enlighten our minds, to help us understand Scripture, to walk in cadence with His leadings when He has those divine appointments set out for us to minister hope and a future for those around us. But a great passage. Actually, till the end of chapter 1, they're all great verses. But the reason why I thought of this, on Wednesday I played the talk that Janet Parshall gave during the National Religious Broadcasters Convention, and people were like, wow, was that high octane. If you know Janet Parshall, she can fit so much in a short period of time. This was like a 30-minute talk, and many people were blessed by it. But the overarching theme throughout NRB was allowing the Spirit to move in us, to raise up the name of Jesus, to honor God through our broadcasts, through the work we did. Now, the NRB, even though it's called the National Religious Broadcasters, it included TV stations and TV producers and filmmakers and social media gurus, those that do website pages and all the social media podcasts and such. But the prevailing overarching theme that I took away, and it was a closeout theme that Ruth Graham Lotz shared. She wrote a book, Jesus and Me, and it's all about the Spirit moving in people's hearts and minds. And so I've been real attentive to trying to hear and listen and surrender and submit to the Spirit's leading, but I've been asking the Spirit to guide and lead me. And so now it seems like when I read Scripture, anytime I see the Spirit capitalized, you know, it resonates. And I like this fact that Paul's writing, I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, God the Father, the glorious Father, may give you the Spirit. All three are right in there, that triune Godhead, the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know Him better. And I think that's what we're all about with this radio ministry, is helping people know the Lord Jesus Christ better, which will help them know God the Father better, and that's enabled by the Holy Spirit that works in and through us.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on this?
Always. Do I ever have any thoughts? Yeah. My wife would say, yes, thoughts on everything. You know, I think it's so important to talk about, because here's what I would say. Think about the Christian life as like a three-lane highway. And what happens oftentimes is we have the right lane and we have the left lane. So I just want to use it like this. The right lane, let's say, is doctrine only, fundamentalists, you know, which tend to not be that much fun to be around, but fundamentalists, doctrine only. We just study the Bible here. We just do it. And then on the over here on the left-hand lane, we have the charismatics. You know, we know doctrine, yeah, maybe, but we're really about experience. We're really about experiencing God's Spirit. And so you got one side over here, well, it's just about God and it's just about His Word. And over here we got it's just about the Spirit, and it's just about His experience. And the problem is a three-lane highway can be viewed as like the Trinity. And we need to have a balance. We need to have a balance where doctrine is important and God's word is absolutely important. But as you even just pointed out, you can't read, you read Scripture differently, and you, I believe you can't read Scripture apart from the Spirit empowering you to read it. Now, you can read it as you read words on a page. Anybody can do that. But your understanding will be limited apart from the Spirit. And so oftentimes when we think about following Jesus, we think about church, we think about being a Christian, we think about getting in the left lane or getting in the right lane. And the problem is that we need to drive in the middle lane. The middle lane where we are powerfully experiencing Jesus through His Word, through doctrine, through these kind of things that God has given us to help us, to keep us from kind of going rogue. And so when you read Ephesians, that's one of the main themes. By the way, I've already said it, but I don't think you can read Scripture and truly read it apart from the Holy Spirit. The Bible was authored by people who were under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So yes, while Paul authored Scripture, while John authored Scripture, it was the Holy Spirit who was working through them and writing down the words. I have to believe that the writers of the Bible got done writing things and went, Wow, that's like really good.
Well, and you've even talked about where sometimes you're preaching now, you're certainly preparing for the message, you're studying the Scriptures, you're reading about it, you're praying about it, but sometimes as you're delivering it, you're like, wow, I didn't even prepare myself to say that. It just kind of came out.
The best stuff is never in the notes. The best stuff, the stuff that afterwards I'm like, wow. That is never stuff that I think about ahead of time or I've pondered or whatever. It's stuff that the Spirit draws out as the Spirit is using the Word to empower, to equip, to impact the people who are listening.
Now, I'm going to throw you on a little tangent, but when you said about the three-lane highway, I thought you were going to say Jesus is one lane, God's another lane, the Spirit's another lane, and sometimes we get a little out of balance on that, like we eclipse or we don't deal with the Spirit, we just talk to Jesus.
Well,
all day long,
I think that in the model I gave you, I think that's what happens is we drive over here in the experience only lane where we just talk about the Holy Spirit. Prior to pastoring the church that I pastored, I went to a bunch of churches and trained and equipped at those churches, filled pulpits on Sunday morning and did churches, Methodist churches, Baptist churches, Pentecostal churches, ran the gambit of all the different kinds of denominations you could think of. I've been there. I was in the room with people who would get up on chairs and yell at the devil, and I was in rooms with people who, if you even thought about dancing, you were disfellowshipped. And so I'd been in kind of all those different places. And what I found is depending on where you were at, is how they would talk about faith, how they would talk about God. You'd be in places where you never heard about the Holy Spirit, and you heard about Jesus, but only pertaining to His sacrifice on the cross and His work that was His finished work, but you would only hear about God the Father. And I was in places where you would never hear about God the Father other than Him sending Jesus into, but you would hear all about the Spirit. And what I think is we need to come in because the Trinity is God three in one. And so we need to drive in that one lane where we're balancing all of these things together. And that's the difficulty in following Jesus, is balancing all these things together. Because what ultimately happens is we want to go one way or the other. And I tell this to people all the time because Jesus comes and He tells us to go and give people the truth in love. Well, that's balancing two very difficult things. We're good at giving the truth or we're good at loving. Yeah. But giving the truth in love is a whole different story. And so we need to, as Christians, learn a kind of balance. And it's not, and I want to even almost walk back the statement I just made, it's not about learning, it's about submitting, and submitting to the Spirit, which is what this text is going to tell us to do. But before we do that, we have to go back, because Paul begins in Ephesians chapter 1 and beginning in 3 by talking about God. And it's really fascinating. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ." So in love, He looked across the span of time and He said, "You and you and you and all of you through my Son, I love you. I want to bring you back into relationship and fellowship with me. I want to adopt you as sons and daughters. I want to make sure that you are a part of this family and that you know that. I'm going to do that through Jesus Christ, my Son whom I love. I'm sending so that those whom I love can be brought back, adopted into this family." And it says, "according to the purpose of His will, and to the praise of his glorious grace. There are three times in the opening first section of Ephesians we have this reoccurring thing, to the praise of his glorious grace, down in verse 12, to the praise of his glory, in verse 14, to the praise of his glory. Because our lives as Christians are meant to bring praise and glory to God. And so Paul lays out every reason why we have to give praise and glory. And he ends the first section in Ephesians 1 in verse 13. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with what? The promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Now we have to say, wait, promised? When was it promised? Well, when Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples, what did he say? He said, I'm going to have to leave. And the disciples were like, no, wait, you can't leave. We're just getting this thing going. What are you talking about? And Jesus says, if I don't leave, God can't send the next one. The Spirit of truth, the Counselor, the one who will lead you into all truth. He says the Holy Spirit will remind you of all that I have taught you. The Holy Spirit will empower you in a way that me here physically cannot empower you. You need me to go so that you can receive the promised Holy Spirit. And then it says, to the praise of his glory, because you can't praise God apart from the Spirit. The Spirit leads us triumphantly to the cross. I tell people all the time, the Holy Spirit is the humble part of the Trinity, because the Holy Spirit's job as we come into the presence of worship is to lead us to the cross, to remind us of all that Christ has done for us, to bring us back and show us our victory in Christ. And so that's what the Holy Spirit does, because there's nothing that is more empowering to a Christian than to remember how they were saved, to remember why they were saved. 2 Corinthians 10 tells us that we destroy every thought and every idea that raises itself up against Christ by what? The power of the Holy Spirit. The word there for destroying or blowing it up is dunamis, which is, comes from dynamite, the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's only by the Spirit's power do we take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. How do we do that? Because as we take those thoughts captive, the Holy Spirit leads us back to the cross where we deposit them and weigh them up against what Christ has done. We offer them back to Christ. So Paul says, to the praise of his glory. And then what does Paul do? He models this, doesn't he? Because the next section in your Bible should read something like thanksgiving and prayer. So what Paul says is, he goes, to the praise of his glorious name, to the praise of his glorious name. My gosh, I've said it three times. We ought to just do it. And so Paul does it. He says, for this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus. Now listen to this, because I need you to hear about this, friends. One of the great reasons that you have to praise God is the faith of the other people around you. How many times have you said, I just want to worship right now because I heard about your faith. I heard about the way God is working in your life. A lot of times what we want is, we want to talk about how God's working in our lives or how God isn't working in our lives. But instead, what this is telling us is that we need to hear about how God is working in the lives of others and not be like, well, I wish God would work in my life like that. No, instead what we do is we go, gosh, God, you are always working. And if you're working over there, I know you're certainly working here. And maybe it's just not time for the fulfillment or the fruition of what it is that I'm going through or I'm praying about. But Paul says, for this reason, I've heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards the saints, which means that there's a witness and a testimony that comes from how we express our love. Jesus said, you'll know that you're my disciples by all the Bible studies you attend.
Yeah.
Oh, he didn't say that, did he? He said, you'll know you're my disciples by your love. Here, Paul says that too. Your love towards the saints. It becomes the hallmark of our testimony. We hear about faith. We hear about and we celebrate what is happening around us as God is at work. And then we're known by the way we love one another. And then Paul says, I do not cease to give thanks for you. So when Paul goes back to the cross, Paul isn't going to the cross and going like, oh, Lord, you know, I need a new pickup truck. And, oh, Lord, don't you know the bills are tough this month? And, oh, Lord, don't you know I've got a list of people who are sick and who are needy? Listen, there's places to pray certain kinds of prayers. But what Paul is saying, when I go back to the cross, I want to thank God for Mark and Holly and Sam and Marianne and all these. I want to thank God for all the things that he's doing in these people's lives, because he's using them to carry out his promises. And if he's using them, he's using me too. And he says, remembering you in my prayers, which this is Paul's way twice here. I do not cease to give thanks for you, number one, remembering you in my prayers. It's two. It's twice he's mentioning in the span of one sentence how he comes to the cross and thanks God for the people around him. Romans chapter 16 gives us the longest list of people in the Bible Paul gives thanks for. He gives thanks for all kinds of people. My favorite is Rufus on the list. I love that. Rufus is on the list. I love it. He gives thanks for women. He gives thanks for all kinds of people who have been invested and involved in his life while he's been doing ministry. Remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in knowledge of him. How many times do you pray that for the people around you? How many times do you pray, Lord, I just pray that you would give them a spirit of wisdom and of revelation and of knowledge of you? And then what does he go on to saying? Having the eyes of your heart enlightened that you may know the hope in which you've been called. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance to the saints? That which is immeasurably... By the way, there's no periods here. Because I think Paul's on a praise-like tear here. Yeah. He just keeps going, you know, and everyone's like, oh my gosh, Paul, calm down. Yeah. He's not calming down. What is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rulers and authorities, power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the age to come. This is what Paul prays for these people. This is what Paul... Do you pray prayers like this? Do you pray these kind of big, huge, God-sized prayers for the people around you that say, you know what I pray? I pray, Mark, that God's going to give you wisdom and revelation, that you're going to get to know him better than you have, that your eyes of your heart are going to be opened, and that you will know without a doubt the hope that you've been called to. And that's not just knowing like head knowledge, and that's not just knowing like experience. That's knowing head knowledge and experience. That's having a kind of confidence that comes from empowered by the Holy Spirit, returning to the cross and knowing that you've been saved, knowing that you were bought at a price. You know, so many times I hear people talk about it and they say, you know, well, you know what? I was just worthless and Christ saved me. I hate when I hear that. You know why I hate when I hear that? Because Christ thought that you were worth saving.
Yeah. And he created you to begin with.
He created you and he thought that you were worth saving. He thought that you were worth redeeming. They take verses like when Isaiah says, you know, it's nothing but filthy rags. And they try and take that verse and use it to say, I have no worth at all. If you have no worth, then why did the Son of God come and die for you? You have great worth in his eyes. Mm-hmm. And Paul wants these people to reclaim that, to know the hope that they've been called to and the riches of the glorious inheritance that they have in him. And Paul wants you to remember that there is power in those who believe. What is his immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe? Have you ever woke up in the morning, looked at the day you have and gone, I don't know how I'm going to get through this? Listen, if you're a Christian, that's the wrong attitude. You get up in the morning and you look and you go, I have the immeasurable greatness of his power towards me because I believe. Bring it on.
Yeah.
I'm going to get up and I'm going to get out there and I'm going to tackle what the world has. Now, will it be hard? Yes. Will it be overwhelming? Yes. Will you have moments of frustration and all that? Yes. And then you go, and I have the Holy Spirit.
All right.
And I have the Holy Spirit because he's where it begins for me. It begins in what God did in sending his Son and dying so that I would receive the Holy Spirit to the praise of his glory. And then it even says the greatness of his power that's at work in us. By the way, he connects the power that we have with the power that raised Christ from the dead.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Can you imagine that? I mean, how many of us woke up and we go, you know what? Sure feels like I'm going to be in the grave today, but man, roll that stone away. I'm getting after it. How many of us just need to do that? I think that this text you wanted to talk about today is actually a very difficult text because I don't see a lot of Christians doing it. I see a lot of like, oh no, what we're going to do? The world is such a scary and difficult place. No. It's not. Not for those who believe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is the world going to be difficult? Yeah. Is the world going to be frustrating? Yeah. Are you going to have hard days? Yeah. Are people going to let you down? Yeah. That's why you have the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why Paul prays this specific prayer, because the church in Ephesus was probably having the same kind of problems that your church has, the same kind of problems that your communities of faith have, the same kind of problems that you have in your neighborhood and in your families. And Paul prays this prayer. I want to challenge those of you who are listening right now to open up to Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 15 and going through verse 23, and begin to pray that for people in your family. But instead of having it be broad, pray names in there. Pray names. For this reason, I heard about your faith in the Lord, Mark, and the way you love others. And I don't cease, Mark, to give thanks for you and remember you in my prayers. And Mark, I just hope that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. I pray, Mark, your eyes of your heart will be opened and enlightened, that you'll wake up every day and know the power of him who called you, and that you realize because you believe you have access to that power through the Holy Spirit. What if we started praying these kinds of prayers
I'm
for
those? I'm accepting all that. I'm taking
That's what I'm talking yeah. about. Listen, that's the encouragement that we have for one another. Man, because if you start praying that for me, and the Spirit is working through those prayers, like the Bible says that the Spirit works through those prayers, that is amazing. And that empowers God's people to do that. But instead, we're praying kind of like prayers like, oh, I hope we make it through. The Bible already tells us, if you flip to the last book, last verse in the Bible, we make it. And we don't just make it. We arrive gloriously. The Spirit and the bride say, come.
And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And we get to be those ambassadors, those disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, bringing hope and healing to a hurting world.
Hey, and you got me all fired up, but that's the reason why you have chapter 2. Because I got to think, when he got to the end of this prayer, people were like, I don't know how we're going to do that. And he goes, yeah, I get it, man. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, and once you once walked, you followed the course of the world. You were with the sons of disobedience. I get it, but let me tell you good news. By grace you have been saved, and it wasn't your work. It was the work of God.
Yeah.
And he has created work for you to walk in, that you might walk in it. And so I got to think chapter 2 comes from the naysayers who were like, but how do I live in this prayer? And Paul goes, you don't. From one end to the other, Jesus is the reason.
Yeah.
He's the only way that this is. And the Holy Spirit wants to take you back and keep reminding you of the power that you have in your belief.
All right, everyone, there's the assignment for the day, and maybe all weekend long. Ephesians chapter 1 at least, maybe into 2, maybe the whole book. Keep reading and get prepared and fire up your pastor on Sunday. Let him know that you've been studying God's Word, that you've been praying for him, and we just ask that God equips us all to continue to walk in the Spirit, the Spirit's leading. We can walk in cadence with whatever direction he takes us this day. All right, well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.